Jesus had a very specific type of power in mind, which he gave to his followers for a very, very specific purpose. His very last words immediately before he ascended were these: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Spirit and his power would enable people to do all the things he commanded them to do. "As the Father sent me," Jesus said, "so I am sending you." So it's interesting, Elliot, you said that he's going to somehow be active with us for all the work that needs to be done. It's not like you got to do it all on your own strength. This morning, I stepped outside, and it was dark, and it was cloudy, and it was so, I felt it was so loud. I heard coyotes and turkeys and birds, and the air was moving, and it was cool, and it was beautiful in its own way. And after I stood out there for a while, not fully clothed, I mean, we live in the middle of nowhere, so as I stood out there for a while, then I started to get cold. And I went back inside, and I had this sense that there are some of you here who have stepped out to do the things of God in the fresh, beautiful world out there. And for whatever reason, it hasn't worked. You've gotten a little afraid, or you've gotten a little cold, or something's gone quite wrong. And so you've stepped back inside to the comfort of yourself. I think God wants to speak to you especially today. Yeah, it is. The temperature is wild out there. It is a little dangerous. It's not quite as comfortable maybe as your couch. But that's where he created us to live. God, would you speak to us this morning? You've given us power. You've sent us with power for a very specific reason. Would you speak to every person here, regardless of what I say? Would you speak something of truth to every person here? In Jesus' name, amen. "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you," Jesus said. We're focusing on that sending this fall at Grace in a series called Sent. In week one, we saw that we are sent by Jesus. In week two, that we saw that we are sent as a light to the dark world. In week three, we saw we are sent with the very good news of the gospel. Week four, we saw that we are sent to tell that grand narrative of God with our own little stories. On week five, we saw that we are sent with compassion. And actually, that's the only thing that's going to make anybody listen, is if we have compassion. And today, we'll see that we are sent as the people of God, regardless of our age or affluence, our skill or experience. We're all sent with the same thing. That's the power of God. It's a power that doesn't come from our brains or our bank accounts. It doesn't come through our skill or experience. It actually doesn't come through us at all. It's the power of God that comes through us like electricity through a wire. It comes from God himself. The Spirit of God, also known as the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, actually isn't a force or a mist or some invisible thing in the sense. The Spirit is a person. It's the third person of the Trinity. Along with God the Father, God the Son, he is God the Spirit. Jesus promised the Spirit, or simply Holy Spirit, would be our guide, our counselor into all truth, the one who brings us conviction to do right and comfort because we mostly don't do right, and then conviction again to do right. But the Holy Spirit is characterized primarily as the one who distributes God's power. The power he gives us as he sends us is completely unlike, completely opposite of every human natural power. So we're going to look this morning at two stories side by side to see that more clearly. I'm going to blitz through this, and then we're going to do an activation The first story is told in the book of Genesis. It's the ancient story of the Tower of Babel. The second story is told in the book of Acts, just days after Jesus ascended to heaven. And as I do this, I want you to see not only how starkly different they are, but see how prone we are to falling into worldly power. First, let's look at the story of the Tower of Babel. This is after the flood, but before Abraham, 2,000, 3,000 BC. God had flooded the earth to start over. The descendants of Noah had spread out, and already the human race is in chaos again. That's the scene that we're going to read on here in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech and probably a common writing called cuneiform. You can see in clay tablets in museums today. One language, one speech, one written thing. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. That's also known as Babylon, about 50 miles south of modern-day Baghdad in Iraq. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. So they used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, you know, if as one people speaking the same language they've begun to do this, nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. That's the story of the Tower of Babel. How many of you have heard this story? Now, let's fast forward at least 2,000 years to the time of Jesus. And 6 weeks after Jesus ascended to heaven, the miraculous entry of the Holy Spirit of God comes during a Jewish feast called Pentecost. This is in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were, that is the remaining disciples of Jesus, about 120 people, like a third of what's here today. They were all together. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from all over the world, every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard their own language being spoken. If you read on, you'll know that 3,000 people joined the little baby church of 120 that day. The church exploded. So, let's compare these two encounters with God side by side, not only to see what happened then, but to mirror what happens to us today when we rely on our power instead of God's. Every day we're tempted for it, y'all. Every situation of every moment, we are tempted to rely on ourselves. Let's look what happens. Let's first look at Babylon. Oh, my, I need my glasses. Babel, at Babel, people were gathered for an impossible mission, you could say, to reach the heavens with the tower. Their purpose was to build something to make themselves famous, a tower and a great city. So we may, listen to this, so we may make a city for who? Ourselves. So we can make a name for ourselves and become famous. Who's the key figure in the story? Ourselves. So that's their purpose. The first purpose is to build something to make them famous. Second purpose is self-preservation. No doubt sacrificing others to save themselves. There's no way they could have built this thing, estimated to be 300 feet or more tall at that time, without enslaving others. Their strategy was to use human brilliance, bricks and tar. This was cutting edge technology. This was the AI of the day. And the result is what? God came down to what? Resist them, to confuse them. Their single language was made into many, resulting in division, chaos, confusion, and an inability to work together. Their work was what? Forever destroyed in a single day. This morning, or last night, I talked to Dick Blackwell, founding pastor of the church, and he had all kinds of questions, how things are going. He's so excited about life in the church. And we were talking about the work of the Spirit, and Dick said, he said, you know, if you follow the Spirit, Mike, you'll never burn out. And he said, and the Spirit will produce things that last forever. Unlike this mess here, their work forever destroyed. Their relationships were broken. What a clear picture of how power corrupts us. Friends became enemies overnight. Imagine in an instant not being able to speak with everybody around you. It's easy to imagine because this is always what happens when we insist on being right, when we insist on exercising our power over everyone else around us. They were segregated by culture because of the language. They were scattered all over the world to do what? To limit human power. And they became this expression of what? God's curse over them, over the whole world. Impacting all of us still, to a certain extent. Now let's look at some good news. Let's look at Pentecost. The situation is that people are again gathered for an impossible mission. Are they not? Hey, you 120 people, you're gonna like reach the whole world for the name of Jesus. Countless cultures and language. Their purpose was to build something to make who famous? God famous. Making a name for God, how? By being his witnesses. God is the key figure. And they were going to do what? Self-sacrifice. Sacrificing themselves so others could know Christ. The immediate next scene after this thing of being filled with the Spirit wasn't great worship services. The immediate next thing is they sold what they owned and they shared it with everybody who had needs. The power of God results in very specific, very practical humbling and service to others. Their strategy was to use God's authority. Matthew 28, he told them, I'll give you authority to go and do all these things. And the result is what? The result is God came down, like he had for the people of Babel, but he came down in this case not to resist them, but to help them. This is one of the names of the Holy Spirit, is helper. Their many languages were understood as one. Tower of Babel, their one language made many. Pentecost, their many languages made one, resulting in what? This huge surge of unity. Despite the fact they didn't look the same, they weren't of the same socioeconomic status, they weren't of the same nationality, background in any way, they had a massive unity. That's what the world is looking for. You know what? I'm actually happy we're going into an election year where there is going to be massive differences of opinions, not just in the planet and not just in the nation, but in this room. We are not all going to see this thing the same way. And how we relate to one another is going to be the biggest expression to our local community. How do those people do that at Grace Covenant? I know those two guys think totally differently, and they're our friends. What? This is where the rubber hits the road, y'all. Their work made forever more successful. That big surge that took place that day, it's a 2,600% growth, by the way, from 120 to 3,000. That never stopped. Of the increase of his kingdom, there will never be an end. Their relationships were healed. At Pentecost, people who were enemies overnight became friends. That was the catalyst that led to Saul becoming Paul, this guy who murdered everybody in the church, to becoming the greatest missionary ever of the church. They were united into a new third culture. The kingdom culture. It's not about being this or that, it's a third way. And they were scattered all over the world as well, but they were scattered for a different reason. They were scattered to increase God's power, and they became a blessing for the whole world. Now, if you put these stories side by side, you can see Babel is very much alive and well, y'all. Babel is an option for you. Can you go to that summary slide? Babel results in a community apart from God. It results in something that is resisted by God, that results in continuous confusion and division. It is going to be destroyed. It results in broken relationships, segregation by culture. And that kind of living apart from God's power results in some kind of spreading of the curse. Pentecost, the move of God at Pentecost, this expression of God's power shared with humanity results in something that is empowered by God. It is clear and united, or at least it works for clarity and unity where there isn't. It never stops growing. It results in healed relationships, a third culture, and extended blessing for the world. At Babel, some kind of curse was brought to the earth, and at Pentecost, this multi-millennial curse was reversed. God began to move slowly, first in Jerusalem, and then to Judea, and then to Samaria, and eventually it made its way to Harrisonburg. And the intention of God is to restore the original design on earth, where there was unity, and there was love, and there were all the fruits of the Spirit. They existed in the very, very beginning before everything got messed up. Love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. You will not live by those if you try and do it on your own. You'll get it right for about 4 minutes, and then you'll revert back to your own way. God brings his blessing in some miraculous way through us. We can't just sit back and be like, Holy Spirit, fix the mess in Israel and Gaza. Like, you should do that. He has somehow empowered us to be active in that through prayer, through giving, through supporting the pastors and the people we know there. We have free will. We have the freedom to choose. We have the freedom of agency to choose which power we're going to live by. Every morning when we wake up, you have that opportunity. Every single morning, I started getting up every morning. The first thing I do is roll out of bed, get on my knees. I heard this. I think Carrie Willis or somebody did this. And I combine it with something I heard Dwayne White do. And I'm just like, Lord, your people, your world, do whatever you want through me. God is looking for people that he can breathe his power in and through. God isn't handing his power out randomly. It's not just like everybody equally gets the same level of power. His power is contingent on how you're going to use it. He will restrain giving you power if he has a sense you won't use it correctly. You don't give your four-year-old a gun. And I believe God gives a higher degree of power to those who use it specifically for this idea of going into the world to be his witnesses. Notice he doesn't say, you know, the Holy Spirit will come on you and will give you power to live with purity. Well, that's good. The Holy Spirit doesn't come on you so you will have power to know me. Well, that's very good. It says the Holy Spirit will come on you and you will receive power to be witnesses, to live a kind of life where you are regularly experiencing and encountering something that other people don't see that they need to see through you. Before, when I was a kid, when I was in college, I lived really, really stupidly, way worse than all of y'all, I'm sure. And I would host these parties. And in the mornings, I would wake up, everybody would be hungover, and I would make breakfast for everybody. And I would pray for breakfast for some reason. I would make them all submit to this prayer. I could host great parties. But when I gave my life to the Lord, the day I believe I was actually filled with the Spirit when I was 21. Everything really changed. I started to host different parties. That's what I love to do. My favorite thing is to see people gathered together for a common purpose. Only the common purpose is a little different now than it was way back then. God has given some of you skills and talents, leadership and wisdom, and you're using them on your own power. You're like those people I talked about that stepped outside, you tried it maybe, and it was too scary, and it got too uncomfortable, and you were like, that's okay, I'll just stay back here where it's safe. I'm going to give you a chance to receive that power, or by way of prayer, in faith, to receive that power of God in a minute through the anointing of oil. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? First of all, and last of all, you ask for it. There's no reason to be freaked out or worried. You don't have to do anything like weird to tell everybody you got it. That's a huge misnomer. There's zero reason to be afraid in saying yes, and zero reason to say no. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. If you then, though you are evil, thank you, Jesus, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He wants to give you the fullness of himself. He wants to give you his Spirit. What he's looking for are people who say yes, not just once, but say yes every single day of their life. The Apostle Paul later says, be filled with the Spirit. And the word he uses there is like be being filled. It's not like you get it one time and then you're good. So we ask and then we keep saying yes. And it's way bigger than for you personally. It's for your family. Gosh, look what David experienced for his children. It's for your business. It's for your school. It's for whatever is around you. God wants to empower you to impact that space. So if we could have the ministry team come forward, what we're going to do is give you a chance to receive a small dot of oil on your forehead as an expression of the power of the Holy Spirit. Anointing with oil is at least a 3,000-year-old practice God's people have used. Yeah, this ought to go like extremely fast, y'all. This is a 3,000-year-old practice God has used to note people that are set apart. To be anointed means set apart. Also, before I forget, you whole row up here, make sure you anoint each other with oil before we are out of here. Can we all stand? And I just want to encourage you, if you want to receive this empowerment of the Spirit, all you have to do is come up front, come to any of these people. I think we have enough people that you could be in pairs. Could you get in pairs? And that way one of you can focus on the anointing and the other can pray blessing over them. Can you do it that way? I just want to encourage you to come forward, receive that. But before you do that, I want you to own and admit to God that you have a temptation, that you have this practice of relying on your own power, because we all do. And I want you, by way of opening your heart to the Lord in a truly vulnerable way, confess that and drop that and leave it in your seat. Leave it where you are, that temptation to live out of your own strength, your own brilliance, your own gifting. So it's really only two things. Drop it where you're standing. Come forward. Let them pray over you. It's going to be brief. And we'll go from there. God, we dedicate this time to you. We trust that you're going to do something supernatural in each of us. And we drop our tendency to live out of our own strength. We drop and confess our sin of pride and our temptation to live out of our own strength. We don't need to. We let that go so we can live out of your power. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, come forward. Once you're sitting down, I'd encourage you to ask God, so what does this mean for me now? If you're sitting, if you've had prayer, ask God. Ask the Spirit of God to speak to you. What is it you want me to know now? What is it you want me to do now? You've empowered me with something new. What is it you want me to do now? How does this change my life? God, I pray right now you'd speak to each of us. What does this mean for our everyday life? What is going to change? We saw the contrast between Babel and Pentecost. How is that going to look in our everyday lives? Speak to us, God. I'd like to invite you at the close of this time to come forward for prayer for any other reason, any gap in your life between what you know it's supposed to be like and what it is now. If you're visiting, if this is a first or maybe one of your first times here and you're not connected yet, please meet us in the back room in the corner. Otherwise, I'm going to give you all a prayer of blessing as we dismiss. This is from Ephesians chapter 3. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, would have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that you would know this love that surpasses knowledge, that's better than knowledge, that you would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Love you all. Come forward for prayer or head to the corner if you haven't yet. God bless you. Love you all.